transmitting all day.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here today to call on the highest power of the universe to bring peace and prosperity upon his people. The God that we serve is a deliverer and a strong tower. He is a God of stability, a God of substance, a God of authority, and a God who can solve all of our issues. So today, establish your people with deliverance. Deliverance from the unemployment line. Deliverance from food stamps and welfare. Deliverance from the inner city housing and project living. Deliverance from drug addiction. Deliverance from social injustice. Deliverance from drive-by shootings. Deliverance from illiteracy and homelessness. Deliverance from racism and bigotry. Deliverance from hatred and violence. Deliverance from the doom of demonism. Deliverance from sin and seduction. Deliverance from helplessness and despair. Authenticate us with the principles of your power so that we can dwell in your power today.
You say you really need it. You know that you can have it today. Right now.
You can have deliverance.
Right now.
You can have deliverance.
Oh, right now.
Right now.
You can have deliverance.
If you've got to have it.
Oh, right now.
Right now.
You can have deliverance.
You can have deliverance.
For you say you want deliverance.
You can have it.
You say you need deliverance.
If you need it.
You know that you can have it.
You can have it today.
I am excited to introduce to you Deliverance Today Ministries. Our world is full of trouble, and we have reached a point where it is time to bring to the people of God the truth of God. We are headquartered in Shreveport, Louisiana, and are connected to churches worldwide. Each week, we desire to come into your life with a message of deliverance that will prepare you for heaven. We invite you to join our prayer line and zoom into a closer walk with God every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. We have health professionals, spiritual counselors, and Christian aid workers in Louisiana and Texas, and will also extend our resources to help you with social, spiritual, financial, and mental needs wherever you are.
Today's message, the theology of until. Luke chapter 15 and verse 4, the Bible says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" The real focus of this message hinges upon the issue of how long is until. In order for us to understand the pure essence of our thought today, we must first look to an authority on language to properly interpret this idea. Our text suggests that the act of seeking does not conclude until the lost object is found. The real question today is, how long is until? If a parent were to suggest to a child to cut the grass or wash the dishes until you get tired, for many youth today, the task would never be initiated, because for the worker, the word until gives an opening to suggest that there need be no undertaking of physical exercise. Were we to consult with the American Heritage Dictionary to research the word until, we would find some interesting observations. The word until is a preposition. Being a preposition, the job of this word is to introduce objects, either direct or indirect, who by their use can change the action of the subject. If I, the speaker, were to say that I prayed until midnight, the word I is the subject, telling you who was doing the praying. The word prayed is the verb, introducing the action. But the word until midnight concludes this thought by both defining and building parameters around the amount of time that the praying was done. The dictionary states that the primary definition of this word means up to the time of. You see, I remember as a child, the motto of my father was held in strictest integrity. He could constantly be heard quoting his belief of the information of the slightest issue that needed our reminding. His watchword was, "When a task is once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be the labor great or small, do it well or not at all." But somehow, as children, we tended to want to deviate from the exactness and the strict moral code that my father suggested. You see, my father desired that when cutting the grass, that every blade be trimmed. My father expected that while washing the dishes, that every morsel of food should be removed from the plates, the pots, and the pans. My father suggested that in the service of sweeping the floor, that every particle of dust and dirt should be removed from the floor. My father continued that while making the bed, that every wrinkle be cleared from the surface of the mattress. You see, my father also believed that while dusting the furniture, that every leg of the table and chairs, although not visible to the eye, without strenuously bending over, must be clear and clean of all sediments that were not attached to the surface at the time of manufacture. To grow up in my hometown, we must be sure that our father's mission statement was and is the practice and portion of our purpose. My father's motto merely meant that the job was not completed until. You see, the reality of the word demands five distinct issues that challenge the Christian. Until demands primacy. Until demands purpose. Until demands priority. Until demands persistence. Until demands perseverance. With that primacy, Luke 15 and verse 3, the Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying." Our text challenges us not to look at three different stories, but one distinct message with three different object lessons. The entire chapter is focusing on three issues involving something of value that is lost. Luke chapter 15 and verse 4 says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, Luke 15, verse 8 says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver? And finally, Luke 15 and verse 11 says, a certain man had two sons. The first illustration puts us into the story with the nebulous inquisition, what man of you? Here is a challenge for us to wonder about what we would do if we were in the position of losing sheep. The second illustration tells of a woman who loses silver. Likewise, the third illustration tells of a certain man who loses a son. It is the real issue here, that is the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son. So often we focus on the lost sheep and the silver and the son. But the reality of the matter is they are not the real heroes of the story. You see, the sheep is lost and knows that it is lost, and it is powerless to find its way back to the fold. Likewise, the coin is lost, but does not know that it is lost, and is absolutely helpless in its ability to get back to the hands of the woman to whom it belongs. Although the son is lost by the circumstances of his own choosing, because he believes he is in control, he must wander hopelessly until it is apparent to him that his case is hopeless without the father. The universal current of the story is that each single subject is lost. The situations that rendered them to their helpless state is of itself an issue, but not the issue. For you see, the sheep presumably had a vague idea that it was without the care and companionship of the shepherd. Probably because of curiosity, it strayed. Because of grazing in the grasses of greed, it strayed in the opposition direction of the shepherd. The sheep is indicative of foolish, stupid, and shallow-thinking wanderers who carelessly drift from the safety that God wishes to give to all of his children. Then you have the silver. It is important to note that this coin was a lifeless entity. The coin had no consciousness, thought, or either sensation that it was lost. This coin felt no anxiety or discomfort. There was no defect in the craftsmanship of the coin of itself that rendered it to be lost. The coin was lost because it was carelessly dropped by the owner. Although it was handled in a way that it could be lost, the reality of it being lost brought about anxiety in not the coin to be found, but the owner to seek after the lost coin. The son was truly lost. The condition of being lost was willful and deliberate. The son was guilty of impertinence and shallowness. As he left home, he left with a purpose and he was daring. The fact that these three were lost is an indisputable fact. But in reality, the message of the story is not how to become lost, but how to be found. All of us know how to be lost, but truly only Jesus knows how to find us when we are lost. The hero is not the sheep, not the silver, nor the son, but rather the searching shepherd. It was the shepherd who locked the 99 safe in the fold and endured the danger of the elements, climbing to the cleft of the rock, listening intently for the bleating of the wayward and hard-headed sheep who wandered away from the fold. It was the shepherd who had to go to the bar and the nightclub or the disco and stay until he could bring back the sheep into the safety of the fold. It was the woman who lit the candle in the midst of the night and did not allow herself to sleep. It was the woman who was willing to lift up every rug, remove every table, displace every chair, sweep the whole house if necessary until the lost silver was found. It was the father who stood at the gate so that the returning son would not run into the elder brother first or the servants first. Because the father was at the gate, the son found an ally in his moment of distress. No one was to smell the stench of the pig pen but the father. No one was to see the son in his shame and his pathetic helplessness but the father. Only a loving father can understand and can love us in spite of ourselves. Only under the care of a father's love who daily stood at the gate with the hope and the anticipation that one day the lure of the satanic hex put on his son by the attractiveness of the ways of the world and the excitement of the world and the glitter of the world and the thrill of the world would one day loosen its hold, and finally his precious son would see the world for what it really is, and this discovery would send him home. That is why until demands primacy or diocese, we must learn to brighten the corner where we are. As children of the Most High King, we cannot be content until we have searched, until evil has been eradicated, until righteousness has been vindicated, until darkness has been subjugated, until sinners have been liberated, until Satan has been terminated, until holiness has been legislated, until Jesus has been emancipated, until salvation has been invigorated, until our deliverance has been exhilarated, until sanctification has been rejuvenated, we must work until. Let us sing the song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Until demands purpose, God did not put or leave us here to occupy space. There are sheep to be found, some silver to be found, and a son who requires our presence at the gates. John chapter 13 and verse 15 says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." The demands of discipleship require service instead of sitting. It was not Jesus' intention to be served, but to serve. As we move into the final millennium, we must be willing to stand up for Jesus at every beckon and every call. We have a purpose true, heeding God's command. So dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. There are those who desire for the church to cater to their needs and to address their concerns and to come to them for everything. We must be aware that only true shepherds understand sheep. God is not looking for us to sit on the sidelines. He wants us to be involved. Recently, we have seen young people who have been martyrs for their faith, pledging at the barrel of a gun that they believe in Jesus. Millions are taking notice of these witnesses for Jesus who are not afraid of their belief. It should be our purpose to show the sheep that we have found the silver. We have sought out and the sons that are there because we chose to stand up for Jesus. We have reached a time when Christianity is not popular. For the Bible says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of our ministry." The Bible tells us that we should understand that in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We are challenged by Jesus to stand for truth. Now, some may not understand why our purpose is so true, but today it must be made clear. There are sheep who are watching. Even though the sheep hear his voice, they are distracted by the grasses of sensual music. They are charmed by the appeal of seductive music. They are infatuated by the lure of the forbidden. There are coins who are watching. Even though the coins shine in the light, they are turned off by the hypocrites in the church. They are frustrated by the spiritual wickedness in high places. They are befuddled because evil rules, and they want to know why. There are sons also who are watching, And even though the son has come home, they are repelled by the spirit of the elder brother. They feel uneasy at the looks and stares at the party. While wearing the robe, they remember the pig pen. That's why until demands priority, for God's work should be foremost and not secondary. Often missed in this story is the urgency of the condition being lost. Many a youth have idolized the thief on the cross, who while living his life at the final moment was giving an opportunity to repent and be saved. Salvation requires us to expect death at any moment. To wait could mean disaster. There was a day when we knew that we had tomorrow, but that day is no longer with us. One no longer needs enemies to have an encounter with death. We live in an age of drive-by shootings, indiscriminate killings, terrorisms, and family violence. My brothers and sisters, we are living at a time when Jesus is about to come. And I want you to know that we must work for sheep. We must work for coins. We must work for lost boys until our love for Jesus is qualified by our willingness to work until. Not just a surface love, but a genuine love. A love that digs down for a little bit extra to help someone as if we were helping ourselves. The two meanings of until suggest up until the time of and a specified time. There is a coming of Jesus. He's coming, my friends. Jesus knows how to wait until the harvest is ripe, until the sheep are ready, until the wicked shall cease from troubling, until the weary shall be at rest, until the silver is gathered up into the possession of the woman. Some want to know, who is this woman? She's the woman who had the man-child, the woman who was chased into the wilderness, the woman who was attacked by the dragon, the woman who was told to hold on a little while until the son returns home to the father, until he is guided into the father's bathroom to wash off the stench of the pig, until the robe is put on his finger, until the fatted calf has been killed, until the feast is made merry, until the family accepts the son, that the counted sheep can know that we will be saved. My brothers and sisters, it is time for us to be ready for Jesus to come. It is time for us to know that not only is his coming important, but now is the time to get ready to see Jesus. Now is the time to align yourself with the arm of the love of Jesus. Jesus wants to save us. He's willing to wait until you get ready, until all the sheep who are lost are found, until those lost coins are picked up and put into the hand of the woman, until all sons return home. Oh, my brothers and sisters, now is the time to see Jesus. Now is the time to accept salvation. Now is the time to believe that Jesus is coming to save you. Oh, Jesus, save all lost sheep, all lost coins, and all lost sons. This is the promise of salvation. Jesus is willing to save you. Are you willing to be saved by him? I pray that you will accept Jesus before it is everlastingly too late.
If you've enjoyed this message by Pastor Jonathan McCautry, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. Call at 318-658-6216. Email us at deliverancetodayministries@gmail.com. Write us at P.O. Box 5452, Bossier City, Louisiana, 71171. This is Ruth Ann Thompson at Deliverance Today Ministries, inviting you to join us and become a faithful pledge supporter so we can reach others through this radio ministry.
Before we leave the air today, I'd like to make a special appeal for those of you who believe in the power of prayer. Please join us on our Zoom prayer line tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. Zoom number 504-535-3921. There is no ID number. Come and pray with us each day. Good day. God bless you.